Good morning and welcome to Friday morning, March the 29th in 2024 on When I Rise. Today we come to the end of Year B, Holy Week, but it's actually still Holy Week after today because today is Good Friday. And on the Friday of the week, I'd like to take a look at the gospel passage which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. So we find ourselves in the Gospel of John. So the lectionary has it going from John 18:1 all the way to chapter 19. Verse 42. So it's two full chapters. I'm not going to read all of them. I'm going to read a passage that I want to comment on. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. John chapter 19, verses 25 through 30. Jesus' mother was standing beside his cross. So was her sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene too. Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he specially loved standing there. "Mother," he said, "look, there's your son." Then he spoke to the disciple. "Look," he said, "there's your mother." From that time, the disciple welcomed her into his own home. After this, Jesus knew that everything had at last been completed. "I'm thirsty," he said, fulfilling what the Bible had said. There was a jar there full of sour wine, so they put a sponge filled with the sour wine on a hyssop rod and lifted it to his mouth. Jesus drank it. "It's all done," he said. Then he let his head drop and gave up his spirit. This is the word of God for us. All right, so there's so many great things that we could mention in John 18 and 19, and there's a chance if you are in a liturgical community you go to either Monday, Thursday last night, or if you go to a Good Friday service today, you might read this during worship, and you might get a homily or a sermon about John 18 or 19. So I'm just hoping that either a personal reflection or going to public worship, you'll get some more themes that come from John 18 and 19. There's a great dialogue between Pilate and Jesus that has like not only the topic of truth and philosophy, but also like where does power come from? And then how did Jesus exert his power? Or how is he showing great patience in the face of power? So many great things that we could talk about here. But I want to reflect on this interaction between Jesus and John at the cross and how it comes at the very end of his suffering. And somehow after he handed his mother over to John, the disciple that he especially loved, we assume it's John, that then he could say it is finished. And, you know, taking some sour wine, you know, from a hyssop branch, fulfills scripture. And so then he was able to say it was all the way done. We were reflecting on several of these passages with Jesus on the cross at a staff prayer meeting recently. There's a great playlist on Spotify that somebody found. And so we spent a good 10, 15 minutes reflecting on some of the things that Jesus said and did on the cross. And of course, the cross is a mystery. We won't be able to talk about it and exhaust all that it means, all that happened on Good Friday. But what we can do is, like, with what we have revealed in Scripture, we can, you know, just think about the whole act and what Jesus was doing. And as I was reflecting on all these different scenes of him, you know, being confronted by his opponents at the cross and staying silent, of him talking with the other brigands that are being crucified next to him, and him, you know, making sure that his mother's needs are cared for, even raising his lama sabachthani, his grievance against the suffering to a heavenly father that he hopes is still there with him in the midst of his suffering. There's just so much to say here, and it just made me think, you know, Jesus obviously had a vision of what the cross would be. That seems to become clearer and clearer when he gets to Gethsemane in the episode before this. But knowing that he was going to suffer and atone for the sins of the world, like, he still expresses his own, you know, self-identity here. He's able to, with his, you know, very, you know, guttural, you know, language using in the Aramaic, raise his grievance to God, lament to God. He's able to you know, to commit his spirit to God here at the end. He's able to make sure that his mother's needs are cared for by handing her to the care of his disciple here. So even though Jesus is doing the work for somebody else, like he's doing the work for all of humanity, and, you know, bearing sins on the cross here, Jesus is still able to be himself. Like, he's never drained of his self-worth in the midst of his atoning sacrifice. This caught me off guard. I mean, I'm reading a great book about self-worthiness, reflecting on what does self-worth and spiritual formation look like within the church. And so I admired Jesus, that even though he's doing such a very difficult task here, and he's experiencing physical pain, soul pain, and a lot is just crashing down upon him, that he's not swept away and he's not drained of his own self, but he's able to still be himself in the midst of all that he's doing for other people. I say this because I think some of us have a personality type that we lose our self-identity. We think that we shouldn't think of ourselves. We experience this especially within the church. We're told in sacramental language to not think of ourselves, and to, you know, only think about the glory of God or the needs of others. And I think a lot of Christians, listening to preaching over the years, like they have the self-deprecation that isn't always about discipleship, but it can lead to a misshapen soul. And they cave in because they're never able to express themselves. They're never able to share their own needs. They're never able to, you know, wrestle with God as Jacob did in the book of Genesis, and as Jesus is doing here at the cross when he asked God very honestly, "Why have you forsaken me?" Right? And so I admire Jesus because the cross isn't something totally in substitution land. We talk about that a lot, how Jesus is the substitution and sacrifice for the sins of humanity, doing something that we could not do. But in a rare piece of dialogue or musing about the cross, the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 that he wants to share in the sufferings of Christ. He wants to share in his crucifixion. Like, there's a participation that happens. And so I don't know, as I go to Good Friday this morning, and as I go into Easter weekend, as I reflect on what Jesus has done, obviously I'm so very grateful that Jesus died in my place. However we try to parse all that language out with the theology throughout the church throughout the years. But I also I marvel at how Jesus has never drained of self as he is working on behalf of others, that he is emboldened in his own personality and self. And he embraces his own self-worth in the midst of this atoning sacrifice. And I hope that as I go to the cross today in Good Friday, and as I walk away from it tonight after thinking about Jesus and being grateful, I'd also be empowered by Jesus' spirit to, of course, do the work of Jesus, to do the work of the church, to be a Christian and follow Jesus, but also to continue to fully realize who I am, the way that God created me, and to be faithful in the midst of that. So with all those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, on this Good Friday morning, we reflect upon the cross of Christ, and our words are few. We tend to want to watch and to listen and to reflect inside, and maybe the only words that we can say is nothing but deep gratitude for Jesus, your suffering on our behalf on the cross, and in a mystery, how it paves the way for the rescue of all who call upon the name of the Lord. And so this day, our words are few, but our meditation is deep, and it's wide, and it's long. And we marvel at who Jesus was as we watch him become the victor over the powers on the cross. And we pray that as we reflect on what Jesus has done, Jesus, you'd give us the strength and the wisdom to know how we can do the Father's work, no matter wherever we find ourselves, in a place of blessing and comfort and ease, or in a place of challenge and suffering. May we remember you and what you've done on the cross and how you did it, how you were comfortable with who you were, and how you were pleasing the Father even in a dark moment. And because of that, you endured all the way to the end. So we thank you for the agency that you experienced at the cross. God, we pray that by your Spirit, we would be given that same power for agency in our own lives. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.